After a decade-long campaign by The Guardian newspaper, which was resisted by high-ranking officials and senior politicians, correspondence between Prince Charles and government ministers has finally been published. The letters, which cover an eight-month period between 2004 and 2005, show the heir to the throne expressing robust views on a wide range of policy matters, including to the then Prime Minister Tony Blair. In one of his most strident criticisms, he told Mr. Blair that the armed forces, who were then heavily involved in Iraq, had insufficient resources. Clarence House has defended the prince, sharing what it calls his unique perspective. With our first report tonight, here's our royal correspondent, Peter Hunt.
A man who will one day be king and who has no formal role until that day dawns has for decades attempted behind the scenes to influence government policy. His lobbying has been in private. These letters provide the briefest of glimpses of the princely modus operandi. The hereditary monarch-in-waiting sent lengthy letters to elected ministers grappling with the issues of the day. The exchanges are cordial. At one stage, Mr. Blair notes that we are at one. Writing to the Prime Minister in February 2005, the heir to the throne presses home the need, as he sees it, for drastic action to tackle tuberculosis in cattle.
I do urge you to look again at introducing a proper cull of badgers where it is necessary. I, for one, cannot understand how the badger lobby seem to mind not at all about the slaughter of thousands of expensive cattle and yet object to a managed cull of an overpopulation of badgers. To me, this is intellectually dishonest.
Prince Charles fires off letters about an eye-watering range of subjects. Historic buildings, herbal medicine, the albatross, healthy food, and in a missive to the Environment Minister Elliot Morley, sustainable fishing.
I particularly hope that the illegal fishing of the Patagonian toothfish will be high on your list of priorities, because until that trade is stopped, there is little hope for the poor old albatross, for which I shall continue to campaign.
Charles's challenge is that this correspondence will not generate a unified response to the activities of a prince who will one day occupy the unifying role of head of state. His critics will accuse him of secret meddling. His supporters insist he cares about the issues he raises and he is only doing his duty.
Clarence House has warned the publication of the Black Spider letters, so named because of the thick, dark ink they were written in, can only inhibit Prince Charles's ability to express the concerns and suggestions of the people he meets. But the Labour MP Paul Flynn said it was right for the public to know about the exchanges between the prince and ministers.
Some of his views are splendid and advanced. Some of them are eccentric and some of them are balmy. He's going to be the head of state and we should know what the views of the head of state are. Is he suitable for the job? Will he interfere with government policy and possibly imperil the impartiality of the Crown?
The Conservative MP, Michael Ellis, defended the content of the letters and said the prince was perfectly entitled to send them.
If he was a dissolute Prince of Wales partying the whole time and taking no interest in public life, people would consider that reprehensible. Here's a man who's writing about agriculture, the green agenda, and he's concerned about these issues. And I think in the same way that MPs receive letters all the time, I think he should be allowed to write letters too, and in fact encouraged to do so.